Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Listen, after several months of isolation, sadness, that's all done. We're done. The grand winter of summer, the off season finished. We're after week one. We can safely say college football returned. And then with that, everything you'd forgotten about, i.e. Misery, sadness, shock, horror, and occasionally sparkling moments of joy, yeah. Up there.
Harvest came early this year. Guess what? It's nothing but Beatles. The Beatles got into the crops.
a bumper crop of boll weevils for every cotton farmer in college football.
All that hard work you did in the planting season, just tending and caring to the soil, carefully planning out your plots of land, just beetles everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think anyone coming out of this weekend, there's maybe like seven teams, maybe eight, that are really happy with what they saw. Everyone else, guess what? You failed the fitness test.
LSU, okay? LSU, you got a tractor full of fire ants. Great job.
I mean, all this talk about farming, and yet it was the Big Ten West that surpassed all expectations, yeah. So... Man, a salute to America's farmers. That's really the theme of this weekend, I think.
As we all predicted, the Big Ten West, most dominant division in college football.
Most talented, the highest paid coaches, mm-hmm. the dirtiest recruiting, the most lax academic standards, just the most desperate institutions for any and all football success, triumphing at last over the SEC West, which not much talent, you know, not a very talented region, not much money and fan passion. The coaches aren't paid very well. Really more of a basketball division.
The Big Ten West is America's strategic cocaine reserve. People don't know that.
Honestly, LSU just cares more about funding its many other scholarship sports.
Yep.
Football is just kind of there.
You could have just stopped at funding, really, considering Louisiana.
Wow.
No.
Wait, let's see. Is that three minutes before Ryan made it dark?
Have we considered that Louisiana the state of Louisiana paid LSU to take a dive? Like put a bunch of bets on Wisconsin and was like, "All right, guys, this is the only way we're going to save the school system."
Anyway, since we've already turned and made it dark, I thought we would just roll through with everything that I don't think we've learned anything, cuz we're really not pro learning. This podcast. No, we're sort of just more about standing back in awe, marveling at all of the anomalous behavior that we can see out of week one. Hey, let me just point this out. Remember how we wanted the SEC to start playing real games to open the season?
Yeah.
ever listen to us.
Hey, I think I'm going to take up kite surfing. Isn't that really dangerous, SEC? No, I got this, bro.
Listen.
To do? They can't even beat themselves. Vandy lost to Will Muschamp.
Listen, you say that, but Mississippi State was like, I'm just going to stay home, have a quiet cup of South Alabama. Oh, God. Oh, it's everywhere.
I'm just gonna do a little Zumba. How can you injure yourself doing Zumba?
Home Zumba. Oh, McGroin. McGroin.
Yeah. Mississippi State fans, if they tried Zumba, it would not be very rhythmic, so to speak.
Or, you know, even if it were, probably be a little bit of it moving. It's one of our fattest states.
That's how Stingray is gonna capitalize on his YouTube fame. Just workout tapes.
Okay.
Yeah. This is how we start the Mule Strong movement. Mule Strong. You ain't cut, but you keep going.
Yeah. Mississippi State, of course, is the program that suspended its 5-star for one game, tried to get away with a chicken shit punishment for its most talented player.
Hey, what game was that? Yeah,
one-game punishment for its cupcake game. And then you lost to that pastry.
Cupcake had razor blades in it.
A lot of people saw that, and the word they used was karma, which, not really a thing. But if it were, this is probably what it would look like.
Yeah, I don't think the kicker had anything to do with that particular administrative decision. But boy, did he help them lose that game?
Losing to cupcakes, a Mississippi tradition in a lot of ways.
When your school hashtag is clang out, which, by the way, I feel like Shut Down Fullback, the short-lived YouTube program that no one remembers. I think we invented Clanga. Like I never saw that until we started doing that, and now like the school tweets it and everything. Anyway, Clanga lost to the sound clang. Mm-hmm. That was something.
Yeah, Clanga. It can mean a lot of different things.
Ask not for whom the goalpost tolls.
Clangs.
I didn't even think about that watching it. I was just so aghast. Yeah. You know, what can I say? South Alabama is a really good football team. I'll say the same thing whenever you're like, wow.
It's got the word Alabama in it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's half the power. That's half the power right there.
No shame in losing to Alabama. You took Alabama to the wire.
Also, one kicker had long hair and the other didn't. Guess which one hit the upper right? The one without the long hair. It's a good weekend for kickers, man. Penn State's 270-pound massive refrigerator of a kicker got a glory shot in his game.
Just flattened some poor Mac kick returner who he outweighed by 70 pounds.
Wisconsin's kicker had a nice day as well. Didn't dance as much as I would have preferred, but...
Nearly as husky also.
Nearly. He slimmed down a little bit.
He's about 240 now. But still has the power to go 3-for-3 against LSU in a game where those were precious points.
He slimmed down in that way that suggests that he's cut out one and only one specific thing. Or he's like, yeah, I just don't eat ice cream anymore. But everything else is on the table.
I cut out the Faygo.
I think he slimmed down in that, I'm drinking Diet Coke, so sure, I'll have another plate.
Right.
Kind of way.
You can do that when you're like 20. When you're like, man, I'm a little fat. I should cut down on one thing and get fit.
And I'll lose 20 pounds.
I mean, that same thing's true when you get older. It's just food. You're like, yeah, I cut down on food.
Yeah. When you're 20, it's like, oh, I think I'll cut down on second pizza. You know, and once you're the age of people like Spencer and myself, it's, I think I'm going to cut down on dinner.
Life.
It's gone.
Just
there's no
just
dinner
less
anymore.
Life.
It's like I treat myself to dinner once a week. Oh, you mean like a big dinner?
What's your cheat meal dinner?
I have a salad on Wednesdays.
Speaking of starvation, I want to go through everything that the SEC managed to excrete out in the form of football this weekend. Okay, now the most excusable one to me is Tennessee. Only beating App State by 7 points because, one, congratulations, Tennessee. You won a close game with Mike DeBoer as offensive coordinator and Butch Jones as head coach. Great job. You would have lost this game a year ago. Also, App State, actually, they're a really good football team. They are. I'm not even joking. This is, like, not me joking at all. South Carolina played Vanderbilt.
Go 11-1, so.
Yeah, we did, actually. Like, that's their good.
On track.
Yes. On track. South Carolina Vandy. this was a kind of an atrocity. As you know, we start this sport by watching South Carolina play football, mostly as a warning. After getting really excited, it's good to dial back expectations. And dialing back expectations is watching two SEC teams struggle to score 23 points combined in a game. 13-10, going to be the score for every South Carolina game. They're just going to be one or the other. Right now, South Carolina, by far the best SEC East team. That's...
Wow. That's not true. That's not true.
Check the standings, Ryan.
That's not true. Listen, I don't like Georgia, but that's not true.
Take a look at the standings.
All right, we'll skip over Alabama.
If you want to give South Carolina top two in the East, I'll give you that. But even I cannot put them over Georgia right now.
I don't know. I'm gonna put them over Georgia because
tied.
I really don't.
Tied. Let's compromise and say South Carolina's as good as Georgia.
Well, okay. Let's see. Let's remember that if Georgia gets a big win to open the season, they have to lose to South Carolina. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
I think that breaks
loss,
the tie.
That makes this loss more palatable.
Okay. We'll go ahead and bump Georgia up then.
No dogs.
Speaking of Georgia, Georgia beats North Carolina 33-24. Kind of a weird game. Nick Chubb is the reason they won. That's good. They're real smart. They're just going to run him a lot. But nothing on Georgia really inspires me a whole lot, particularly a quarterback.
Yeah, they kept switching quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It started Grayson Lambert, and I like this. At like right at kickoff, Spencer tweeted, "You know, so let's start the timer for when Lambert loses his job, and it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be under an hour. It was 50 minutes exactly when the freshman Eason took over for Lambert, and then they kept switching him, and then with 4 minutes to go, everyone says, okay, Eason's the future. He made a 51-yard pass that somebody pointed out would have been longer than any of Georgia's completions of all of last season. and then they benched him and put in Lambert. Luckily, cooler heads prevailed, and Lambert's only job was handing it off to Nick Chubb for the winning touchdown, the icing touchdown. But I don't know, man. If Lord help us if Nick Chubb, of us being the state, if Chubb gets hurt again, because it's going to be, you know, tensions are going to be high around here.
I do love, by the way, that they're running this toss play with Georgia. If you watched, they run a toss play, and the toss play is one of my favorite things to watch in football because it's never very apparent whether you have it blocked properly as a defense until it's far too late. So it's this great game of peekaboo where you go, wow, a lot of guys running. Looks like North Carolina. No, they don't have it. They don't it's like solid wall of people. Boo!
Yeah,
they sure are moving. Whoop.
Most encouraging thing for Georgia: offensive line looked great. They did defense. You got some holes.
Mitch Trubisky. That'll happen. Mitch Trubisky looked terrible for North Carolina. Just terrible.
Yeah. I kind of think you're like, this is a double-edged sword because I thought, wow, if Georgia faces a competent QB, they're probably going to give up some points and some yards. And then I thought, well, they're in the SEC East, so
no worries.
Just vast sea of nothing. That's the answer there. Yeah, speaking of this, we'll keep going. Florida, a dominating 24-7 win over Massachusetts. We can't get out of our own way on the offensive line. It's bad.
This... it felt like it was 10-7 for about 4 days. This game was. This is one of those games where it's just on the scoreboard so long that it feels like, do I need to refresh my screen? What's going on here?
ESPN, the app's broken.
Hey, you got a floater. Like, do we need to actually like scrape this thing? Good God, it's still 10-7. It's gonna burn a hole in my screen. It's gonna be, you know, like when you leave the Nintendo on when you're 8 years old and they say, oh, you're gonna freeze the TV forever. And you're like, well, it's my high scores. I want it up there. But no, this is not a high score. This is 10.
Hey, for the season, it's a high score.
Sure. By the way, that 24, you go, oh, man, that's three TDs and a field goal. Nope.
No,
there's
not.
A two-point conversion in there. Working backwards. Good news is, Florida, we got a kicker. Yeah. Also, two good, solid personal fouls.
Yeah.
At least two. Maybe three if you count the face mask. Yeah, this is
Florida
on brand.
Florida back.
Look like a must-champ team. I'm going to go slip my wrist right after we record this. I'm professional and not during the podcast. Additionally, here's what else the SEC managed to trot out there, and it gets worse. There's the aforementioned South Alabama beating Mississippi State 21-20 in a more appropriately named than ever Starkville.
Bleakville.
Mizzou. Oh, man, Mizzou got the 11er.
Mizzou did it.
I'm not even going to hate on it. They did it.
Yeah, like 11 points for Mizzou. I ain't really even mad at that. Okay, no. Good job, Mizzou.
That's better. Last year, that would have been 10. We give you a half century.
That's
you're going to be putting up huge numbers offensively.
That's a 10% improvement. That's if that's a stock, man, you're buying.
Exactly. You got to think more like an NBA and less like a football coach. I'm demonstrating value and growth, Mizzou. West Virginia beats them, by the way, just in case you wonder what conference didn't beat the SEC yesterday. I'm Pac-12.
By the way, when West Virginia went to the Big 12, which school were they replacing? It would have been Mizzou.
That's right.
So good job, SEC. You definitely picked the right school.
Sweet.
Additional, we can keep rolling through this like
Arkansas
cold.
Barely surviving Louisiana Tech, but honestly, that's like what one of the five best results for the SEC this weekend.
That's probably the best September game in Bielema, Arkansas history.
How'd that go last year? By the way,
fair, real fair. What do we think about the A&M UCLA game?
A&M's got a defense.
They have a defense.
Except for the last 3 minutes.
They have a decent, like, Trevor Knight looks serviceable at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's definitely the kind of win that I think I wouldn't be surprised if we look back on it at the end of the season and be like, well, yeah, UCLA went 7-5. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's a good point. This is probably the most, well, that didn't matter.
Right.
Big win of the season.
I mean,
but
A&M beat number 15 Arizona State to start the year last year. And how much did that mean? How much did that mean in December?
You're making that up.
No, that's
and
some
remember
real
we all,
shit.
And remember, we all said, wow, man, with Myles Garrett and everybody, that defense is mean. This is exactly what everybody's saying against another Pac-12 team. And the Pac-12 might have been the only conference that looked worse than the SEC yesterday in terms of overall camera-ready presentation, because they had a terrible night, and we're totally willing to talk about that, too. I just wanted to make sure that as, you know, about SEC homers,
stewards.
We immediately self-debased here before we even started. It was this is bad, y'all.
I can join in on that. Kennesaw State lost, so I'm right there with y'all.
Do we qualify Auburn losing to Clemson as bad or just weird?
I think I'm going to go bad here because the defense, we thought the defense would be good. Holding Clemson to 19 points is probably a little better than expected, but when you sign up for the Gus Malzahn experience, you are not signing up for 19-13.
Well, especially because Auburn had 3 turnovers in this game, and every one of them took place inside Clemson's 40-yard line. Like there is definitely an element of Auburn had a lot of chances to win this game and fucked them up because the offense didn't know what the hell it was doing.
Dabo tried as hard as he could to keep Auburn in this game. Down to the final minute, in case anyone missed this, Dabo had a chance to. There were like 4 different ways to put the game away. The decision was, let's run out of bounds. Like,
The decision.
On 4th and 4, up 6. First down effectively ends the game. They're in field goal range, so that more or less ends the game because it'll put it out of reach. And what was his reasoning, Jason? For not
kicking
the field
goal? I've seen crazy things happen.
He was afraid of having a kick blocked.
And run back. Not just blocked. And
right.
Run back.
Which, to be fair, when you're playing Auburn, you gotta watch out for, you know,
the devil.
Madness might strike. But
can I give you the number? Can I give you the number? The substantial number that illustrates everything we're talking about in terms of a Gus Malzahn offense not being able to move the ball is a run first offense. Yeah, here we go. They ran the ball 41 times. They had 87 total yards rushing. That's 2.1 yards per carry. 2.1.
Three different people lined up at quarterback in this game for Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. I mean,
I think that part is like, you know, the long term concern with Auburn is what is the plan at quarterback? Basically since 2008 or 2009 or so. And even during this game, it's kind of a microcosm of that because there's not even a plan on who's the quarterback from drive to drive. It was even worse than Georgia as far as what are we going for here? What's the idea? No one knows.
Yeah, it's it's super bad right now there. And this is not, you look at a lot of these situations and you go, they all have the same thing in common, either replacing a quarterback or inability to recruit a quarterback or develop a quarterback or even recognize what one is by touch, smell, taste, feel, right? Like an animal picking up something that it's not quite sure whether it's food or not. That's the SEC right now. There's a lot of things that they have in common across all of these teams struggling. And the one where I look at it and go, man, they're never going to figure this out and it'll really hurt them. Like LSU, they're never going to realize what a quarterback is as long as Les Miles is coach. That's just.
And as long as Cam Cameron's offensive coordinator.
Nope.
Not till Jimbo comes back as OC.
I sincerely hope that at the end of this season, LSU keeps Les Miles, fires Cam Cameron, hires Jimbo as OC, and pays him $2 million more a year than Les Miles makes.
Remember when you
$35 million coaching staff.
When you fire Les Miles, you fire three people in the state of Louisiana. That's the governor, the head coach of the football team, and acting CEO of Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
I said it on Twitter earlier. I think LSU's whole goal for the rest of the season should be to beat one SEC West team so badly that that team has to fire their coach immediately thereafter.
Which team is that going to be?
I went back and forth. Auburn's a good candidate. Mississippi State's a good candidate. Although, I later backtracked thanks to discussion with somebody else and said it won't be the SEC West. It'll be Oklahoma in a bowl game.
They just fire Stoops. Oh, God.
After he loses to interim coach Cam Cameron.
Hey, Ryan, yeah. you had two things you wanted to discuss. I want to reverse your order. Why don't we discuss a Stoops?
A pair of them. I mean, this Oklahoma game. Oklahoma had two running backs in this game who each averaged at least 5 yards a carry. The problem, how many carries did Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine get? Six apiece. Six.
Yeah.
On first down, Oklahoma actually did a really good job holding Houston. And Houston, it felt like all game Houston was in second and nine, third and eight, third and 12, whatever. And then they just get 20 yards easy. They had so many big plays in this game where they just, Greg Ward would find somebody obscenely open down the middle, along the sideline, run for a long distance, either him or Duke Catalan. And it was, they just missed tackles. They were out of position. Like, this defense doesn't look good. It doesn't look disciplined, and it doesn't look like it can do enough to beat you for three straight downs. And that sucks.
Let me put this all in context. One, that this is a problem that Mike Stoops, former players, have mentioned with his defense on Twitter from the NFL, where they are now playing
publicly.
That's happened on several occasions
during games.
Gerald McCoy, a defensive tackle in the NFL, who played for Oklahoma, crying Jordan himself holding a trophy when he played for Oklahoma. That happened yesterday. So if you want to know if there's an internal crisis of confidence with the people who came through the program, yeah, it's there. It might not be the majority opinion yet, but it's totally there. Two, that Houston quarterback, Greg Ward Jr., not real great on first and second down, but you really don't have to be if you're 9 of 11 on third down,
Jesus.
Which he was. He was 9 for 11 for 147 yards on third down.
Why don't we make the whole play out of third down?
I mean, that's not to a Power 5 quarterback. I know that he's really, really good, but if I just black boxed it for you and said, hey, a non-Power 5 quarterback went 9 for 11 for 147 on third down against you, you're dead.
I kind of wish that Houston in the fourth quarter had started taking knees, like early in the fourth quarter, had taken knees on first and second just because they wanted to face Oklahoma on third and long. And note that we have gotten all this way through this game, and we haven't even mentioned the fact that Bob Stoops repeated every mistake from the kick six, all of them. The timeout, the complete failure to account for somebody standing in the end zone ready to run back the kick, the response that, well, you know, he can usually make it from that distance, which has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't actually tell you. Like, when you see that ball up in the air, the Oklahoma players on the field goal unit are just standing around like they're waiting for their number to be called. Like, nobody cares or is even aware that a run back might happen.
There is also this, that Tom Herman admitted that Houston wasn't ready. The timeout gave Houston all the time they needed to prepare for a situation that they were visibly unprepared for. So it wasn't even like Stoops not only didn't have everyone ready on the field, that the staff didn't have everyone ready on the field. They didn't recognize that the other team, they didn't recognize the advantage they had, right? Which, that's what coaches do. When you wonder what coaches do in a game situation, they're recognizing things like that, and they failed to recognize that. And this doesn't mean, by the way, that Oklahoma won't have its usual stellar season. It's just when Oklahoma falls apart, it tends to look like this.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah.
I mean, I do like that we get to talk about, in seriousness, I like that we get to talk about Houston as a potential playoff crasher for
yes.
a good while because of this. That is truly interesting and exciting to me. So I will thank you for that, Oklahoma.
I was impressed by how much more grown Houston looks than last year. Houston was really good last year, but this is a big motherfucking team. Ed Oliver, the true freshman down, like tearing apart Oklahoma's offensive line. I mean, this team could hang with anybody but Bama. I would, that's not really a bold take. They just beat number three. But I mean, if you're Houston, you should not be afraid of anybody on this schedule. You know, there's no sort of guarantee to win 11 or 12 games, but I did not see a single thing to worry about as far as Houston goes.
And if we keep, Greg Ward upright, that's it. Keep Greg
you
Ward
probably
healthy,
do that.
Keep him upright. That would be good because he's a huge part of this. Passed for 321 yards yesterday and only had 1 yard rushing. But if you watched a lot of what he did on third down and a lot of what he did to keep drives alive came via his feet and extending the play. So, yeah Houston, you're awesome. And we don't just like you because Tom Herman had two coaches fight each other in the Oklahoma drill wearing bunny suits. Nope. You're actually good.
Also, the now we get a month or so, maybe a year, who knows, it's the Big 12 subplot of the Big 12 trying to, like, find reasons not to add Houston. Which, if they come out and they're like, we're adding Cincinnati and Colorado State, you know, then it's like, you scurred, ain't you? Huh?
Should have just come out and be like, we're afraid of losing to them all the time.
I think what you do is you hang from the rafters at Houston Texans Stadium, like a Money in the Bank contract, and just do a ladder match after the game, Tom Herman versus Bob Stoops. Herman would whoop Stoops' ass in a ladder match, first of all.
Ladder I think
if it's, if it's street fight, you go Stoops. If it's a ladder match, I got Tom Herman all day. He scrambles up there, gets the Big 12 contract, signs it, boom. Now they play Texas next week.
Look at that. Ed Orgeron out of nowhere into the Big 12 without a team, but it counts.
Shit. Well, and if I think that's a hardcore match. That's a no-hope hardcore match. He comes out with the trash can full of kendo sticks.
Yeah, he ain't playing it without the kendo sticks, okay? You got to have some accessories, and you got to have the cage if you want Eddie O in the ring. While we're discussing Stoops having bad days, going back...
Oh, God.
I don't even want to spend this long on this because we're in year four. Year four is when you're past year three. Year three is when you expect the magic to happen. I've got everyone in the program that I recruited. I've got a full depth chart. I've understood the challenges that meet me in this particular job and have managed the administration, and I'm going to produce something between 8 and 11 wins to validate everything. And then there's Mark Stoops at Kentucky, who has been turning this corner.
It's a wide corner. Yeah. It's very round. Y'all remember when he first got there, they had that, like, top 30 recruiting class, and everyone lost their minds, and they packed out the spring game, like, 55,000 people there. Tim Couch is back co-signing on the offense, like, oh, yeah, this is the air raid stuff you like. It's the same stuff. Like, I was at that game, and I was like, holy shit, people, like, look at all these people caring about UK football. And, I mean, that feels like a lifetime ago, man.
because it was a lifetime ago. If you keep turning a corner, by the way, and you've gone more than, you know, 180 degrees, that's because you're either in a spiral going up or a spiral going down. And guess what? Kentucky's brakes are out.
You know, taking three lefts.
You know, Kentucky. I mean, you know what Kentucky football is? It's the segue. Like, everybody got super excited and was like, guys, something's coming out. It's going to change the game. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Way too hyped. Then didn't do so much. Stuck around, like, maybe mall cops will use it. Hopefully we can use it on tours of Washington, D.C. And then the founder, Mark Stoops, fell off a cliff and died.
Did that happen? Did the Segway founder fall off a cliff and die?
I'm pretty sure that's true.
One of the people involved in the invention of the Segway died on a Segway.
Died on a Segway.
Died doing what he loved. Well, in case anyone doesn't know,
What he loved, falling down a ravine.
falling off cliffs.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.
That was cute. Kentucky lost to a Conference USA team, a good Conference USA team, at home after giving up 34 unanswered to an offensive coordinator that it fired.
Yeah.
Speaking of falling off a ravine, every phrase of that just feels like hitting another rock on the way down.
How much worse can it get? Sound of wolves growling in the background. It's like the end of Gravity, right? Like, oh man, that won't be on fire. Yeah, it's on fire.
Yeah, it's on fire. Ah, George Clooney, sorry.
No. Is that flooding? She made it, but now she's going to drown. Okay, yeah, that's happening. Okay, cool.
So she landed in like a jungle in the middle of, I don't know, Malaysia or something, and there's no humanity anywhere. Good job.
I have this for you from that game. Oh, and it is a stat that I'm going to let sizzle on your brain for a second, okay? Number of plays that they ran in the second half. Oh. Kentucky, remember, was up 35. At the half, they were up 35-17. At one point, they were up 35-10.
They had over 350 yards of offense in the first half, I believe.
Yeah, they were good. They were rolling.
Let's go ahead. Drop that second half knowledge.
They ran 12 plays in the second half.
Listen.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 14. 14 plays. Ran 14 plays in the second half.
That's half a Georgia Tech drive.
Yep. They ran 14 plays in the second half.
Is there a running clock?
Nope. No running clock.
Were they on the planet with all the gravity where the time moves really fast?
Hey, man, at least in position meetings, that's going to be easy tape.
All right, show's over.
That's...
I'm just going to say minus 14 times in a row, and then we're good.
that's what they did. In year four against an offensive coordinator that they fired the year before. So in case you get lost in the Lane Kiffin drops the hammer on his former employer storyline, there's a way, way meaner, nastier one, right? Like,
oh, man.
This is your war story where you go, well, there's the big front in World War II, and you're like, yeah, but let me tell you about this sick shit that happened in Burma. Right?
Wait until Friday night when Mac Brown gets to talk about both these things. See, this is why I always say you never fire a coaches, because they'll come back and they'll put 52 points on you, or they'll beat you in the Conference America at home.
It's hard being a haint with hair this good, but I pull it off.
That and the kindliest ghost that visits you, Mac Brown. Southern Mississippi also has a wide receiver named Alonzé Staggers. Maybe the greatest.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. He staggered to the defense for 46 yards of receiving. So well done, Mr. Staggers. It's a sentence, and he's a wide receiver. Jason, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like that our SEC sadness breakdown did not include Kentucky. They were a solo segment later.
Mm-hmm. No, man, this is the series we put on Netflix, right? We got the movies, but...
This is the web exclusive.
This is the digital skit. It's a 30 for 30. What if I told you that a team only ran 14 plays and a half?
The Lonely Island presents Kentucky football.
It's a dick joke.
So I was going to say re-LSU, which as longtime listeners of this program know, I'm laughing sincerely. It was my national championship pick, I am a professional college football media member. It is a good thing I'm not paid for my opinions. Not that really anyone is these days, because you can say anything and make millions of dollars until you end up on FS1. But I picked LSU to win the national championship, and I've maintained for years that the Big Ten West is the worst Power 5 division. LSU lost to the Big Ten West.
In one fell swoop.
I am wrong officially about everything. So, well, other than, you know, like, I picked Northern Iowa to beat Iowa State. So, yeah, rely on me on only the most meaningless possible games. And if I have anything to say about anything important, just ignore it.
Who are the people who listen to us for predictions? I sincerely want to meet them, tell them about our respective personal lives, and explain, like, this is why you shouldn't do that.
It feels like on Twitter we get a lot of credit for everything we get right. Like, it's awesome that people are rooting for us to be right. And, like, they're kind of like supportive parents, you know? Like, they're like parents who, like, find the good stuff, which is nice. We appreciate that.
Hey,
you know, like,
your report card doesn't have any ketchup on it this quarter. Great job.
Exactly.
Let me give you, allow me to give you my favorite, most delightful, delicious tidbit from the LSU-Wisconsin score. It is that in Wake Up College Football, the online show which you should watch at 10 a.m. on Sundays, featuring Dan Rubenstein and Ryan Nanny on SB Nation, available on a number of platforms, they pointed out that LSU scored 13 points, one fewer than Boston College. Now, this is incorrect. Now, the genius behind this, and way to go, Ryan, is that if an LSU fan beholds this, then what do they have to do? They have to issue the saddest correction on the planet, which is, no, we didn't score 13 points. We scored 14.
We were not outscored by Boston College. We were equiscored.
Actually, our offense is as good as Boston College's.
I say this because on Twitter, Lee Carr at B_Lee_Carr said, LSU had 14 points. It's pathetic yet, but scores aren't secrets. So that last bit is also pretty bad. I don't actually know what you're saying here, sir, but I'm glad you did, because you fell into the accidental tiger trap.
Jason brought up Northern Iowa beating Iowa State, and man, it was a really nice week to be an FCS team. Like, a really, really nice week. It started early with Albany beating Buffalo. That went mostly unnoticed because it's Buffalo, but hey. That's cool. South Dakota State very nearly pulled the upset on TCU. TCU had to pull away in the fourth quarter, basically, to prevent that. But in the process, TCU gave up 333 yards of passing on 30 attempts.
What the fuck happened there?
I watched none of this game. I could not tell you anything meaningful about it.
This was one where you kept saying, like, somebody keep an eye on this, and it just kind of never happened.
Yeah.
I guess we didn't believe it would happen, but yeah, go on.
We have to choose which is the more painful FCS loss. You have Richmond beating Virginia in Bronco Mendenhall's first game by 17 points.
Oh, by the way, never in doubt. I believe at one point they were up. At one point, Richmond was up 30-7 and doing whatever they wanted.
Richmond was in control.
Richmond, this was a matter of the Spiders actually pulling up against UVA.
Virginia on third down in this game, 2 of 10.
Richmond popped the trunk.
Virginia 2 of 10, Richmond 10 of 17.
Yeah.
Also, let's recall, Richmond is the school that they hired Mike Linden away from. So you hired the coach, fired him, and then Spiders revenge.
Yeah, Virginia had 4 turnovers to Richmond 0 in this game. It's going to be a long, long season for UVA.
Very.
I am looking forward to it for all the wrong reasons. They play Oregon, I think, either next week or the week after.
Well, they'll score some points, at least.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Go Brady Hoke. But then your other option for saddest FCS struggle fest.
Oh.
Wazoo. Losing to...
We have a theory on this.
Okay. I am curious how this theory accounts for the fact that Eastern Washington had 606 yards of offense. Please go on.
Because they played Washington State.
Ah, touche.
They're real good. They're real good.
They are real
good.
They got
a red field. They got FCS players you've actually heard of.
Okay.
So
the Inferno. One night in hell.
I mean, based on recent precedent, this means Washington State's going 9-4. So
exactly, that's the theory, is that in order to properly begin the season, Wazoo's got to go out there and just, you know, take a bat to the head from an FCS team, a pretty good one. Eastern Washington, when you look at the way that program's performed over the last couple of years, they're a great team. They're better than Portland State was when Wazoo lost to them last year.
Yeah, exactly. They're making progress here.
There were a combined, so you got a combined 87 points, 1,100 yards of offense, and 24 penalties.
You know, look at it this way. Luke Falk, still alive. That's a big step here.
Yeah.
Still intact. Cooper Kupp, future that guy. Like,
New England Patriot?
Oh, undoubtedly. We got a guy who's just going to be tearing people up in the slot and selling jerseys all across the white enclaves of New England. They're a good team. This is actually a more respectable FCS loss to start it. So book those Rose Bowl tickets, Washington State. The sucker's happening. And lest you say, oh, man, this is dismal for the Pac-12 and for Washington State. Okay. I want you to look around. Who can't Washington State beat in the Pac-12 right now? Stanford? Yeah. Everyone else is game. Like, look, this is a coin toss team that can produce a lot of points. And do you expect them to be consistent? No. That's not what I'm asking you to do in this movie. I'm asking you to be erratic. I'm asking you to give up a lot of yards and score a lot of points. I'm asking you to lose to an FCS team and then win 9 games. So this was all on plan for Washington State. College football didn't get a preseason, y'all, so just make that first loss interesting.
Our preseason is like it goes all the way till conference play. So
I mostly like the image of Washington State as the John Wick of the Pac-12. That's just like, man, I just want to be left alone. And then some FCS team kills the dog, and it's like, well!
Get it out of the way early. That's, if I can give you one note of consolation, if you're a fan of a team like, I don't know, Kentucky, who blew a 25-point lead, then it's this. You got it out of the way.
Yeah.
You know what you are, and you're not good. That's great. You don't have to encounter the bitter reality later of, well, actually, that team wasn't really good. We actually have a serious problem with the offensive line. I'm a Florida fan. I know. We can't run the ball. Can't run the ball. We got a quarterback who's probably not going to throw it further than like 6 yards downfield.
You know you're going to have to watch the Florida-Kentucky game, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what a treat that's going to be. What a delight.
Besides Tennessee-Georgia, what is the best SEC East game of the year?